are several passages in the Gospel writings that talk about the unexpected arrival of a mysterious apocalyptic figure with an enigmatic title. In our scripture reading today, we use the English translation, Promised One, as that title. Someone, some special person, with a mandate to usher in a new age, is going to show up at a special moment, not known to us, and we'd better be ready for that moment. In our reading today, we heard, you must be ready, for the Promised One is coming at an unexpected hour. Well, we don't know exactly what Jesus was talking about when he mentions this Promised One. Some interpreters think that Jesus is talking about himself and his so-called second coming. And in that case, Jesus would be preparing his listeners for an undisclosed time in the future when he will come again to usher in a heavenly reign on earth. Followers of Jesus then need to be ready for that moment. And indeed, a whole lot of examples are mentioned in the Gospels, examples of people who are or are not ready for the coming of the Promised One. Those who are ready are included in the New Age. Those who are not ready are excluded. Probably the best known example of this particular theme is the so-called parable of the 10 bridesmaids. 5 were foolish, they did not prepare, they slept when they should have been getting ready, they had no oil in their lamps when the bridegroom arrived, they could not participate in the party, they were left out of the new world to come. And the other 5 were wise. They did have oil in their lamps. They led the way into the feast, and the door was shut behind them, excluding the foolish who were not ready. The last line of that story says, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know the time or the hour. I think that Brad Ratzlaff, our director of music, likes this story about the bridesmaids, because he's included 3 pieces of music in our service today based on that story. The prelude, the introit, and the postlude. Yeah. And remember last year we did the Bach's cantata on this story as well, so I think he really likes it. Well, we heard the same line about keeping awake in some of our other readings today, in the epistle, in our gospel reading. There we heard, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day the Promised One is coming. So being ready and being awake is understood to mean that people are being diligent in preparing themselves for the arrival of the One who is coming. Everything has to be in place for the big moment. Everyone has to be on their best behavior. Everyone has to be busy with the busyness of the big event. As Christians, we have a mandate to be ready for the big moment of the coming of Christ into our lives and into our world. We also have a strong sense that the coming of Christ has not yet happened in all its fullness. Christ will come again is one of our most important faith statements. That statement will be made as usual in our communion liturgy next Sunday. But what is it that we really mean by that proclamation? Is it simply a matter of Jesus making an appearance in an apocalyptic future day? Well, for most Christians, the answer to this is no. Most Christians, including those in the United Church of Canada, understand the coming again of Jesus to happen continually as time goes by. Jesus comes to us again and again in those who cry out for justice and compassion. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty, you gave me a drink, etc. Jesus comes to us in every person and every situation that needs our Christian attention. Jesus comes to us again and again in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who nudges our conscience and gifts us with virtue in the face of every challenge. And Jesus comes to us again and again in the reliving of the birth of the Christ child each and every Christmas. Don't we say, every time Christmas comes around, that it's a brand new birth of Christ with brand new opportunities for peace on earth, goodwill to all? So it's quite obvious, actually, that the mainstream of Christianity thinks this way. And that's why all of us who follow the cycle of scripture readings in the common lectionary find ourselves reading during Advent those passages about getting ready for the coming of that special promised one. The idea of waiting for a special person who would usher in a new age comes from the messianic tradition of early Judaism. The concept of a Messiah had evolved into a very complex idea in the Judaism of the time of Jesus. Originally, the Messiah was simply to be a righteous king who would usher in a new reign of peace and prosperity. As time went on, and on, and on, and no Messiah appeared, the whole idea of that future reign of peace became more of an otherworldly concept. Something really dramatic would have to happen in order to change the known world into the messianic realm. The whole world would have to be turned upside down. A supernatural transformation would have to take place. God would have to intervene in the natural order and make all things new. People of faith believed that this was going to happen. It just had to happen. There was no doubt that God wants a world of peace and justice. But no one knew just how it was going to happen or when it would be brought about. As a teacher of the messianic vision, Jesus talks about the messianic kingdom of God all the time. As someone has said, it was his magnificent obsession. Of course, then, Jesus also talked about the issue of when it would arrive in all its fullness, and that is what Jesus is discussing in our gospel reading today. Whether or not Jesus identifies himself with the messianic promised one is not at all clear in the gospel, and it's rather beside the point, having little bearing on the lesson at hand. The bulk of Jesus' teaching suggests clearly that Jesus thinks the reign of God can be built in the here and now. And it all depends on how people live their lives and how they treat each other. Jesus even seems to think that the reign of God in our lives can happen in spite of bad things going on in the world around us. It can happen in spite of conflict and calamity. It can happen in the face of violence, disease, and oppression. It can happen in the here and now. But the lesson about being awake still applies. We have to have eyes to see it. We have to have ears to hear it, minds to understand it, hearts to embrace it, spirits to receive it. And if we don't, it will elude us altogether. And hence the title of my sermon today, An Elusive Christmas. God's Christmas, the real Christmas, the genuine birth of God with us, can elude us altogether. We get so frantic at this time of the year that I think we're doing our best to elude God's Christmas. We're so busy running around. We say we're getting ready, and we heard in our gospel reading today that we must be ready. But what are we actually getting ready for? Are we really getting ready for an outbreak of the kingdom of peace on earth, goodwill to all? Or are we just running around like crazy, preparing ourselves for a great big affirmation of the status quo? a celebration of the empire that rewards a few at the expense of many, a celebration of the empire which dangles empty promises of a good life before vulnerable persons who eventually lose their homes through subprime mortgages and go bankrupt because of credit card debt. The empire that oppresses the poor and does great harm to Mother Earth. Much of what passes for Christmas in our world only serves to perpetuate this anti-Christian empire. We get caught up in this anti-Christmas, while God's Christmas can elude us altogether. But this does not have to be the case. And we have examples of organizations and persons who have been gifted with a genuine spirit of Christmas. And in this regard, it is fitting to mention today the Canadian Church's Forum for Global Ministries. Over the years, the Forum and its predecessors have become increasingly aware of the links between traditional Christian mission and the empires that have exploited and oppressed vulnerable people, be it in residential schools in Canada or mission stations in the two-thirds world. Often these enterprises were no recipes at all for peace on earth, goodwill to all. It took a lot of insight, a lot of courage and determination to change the focus of Christian mission and ministry from its imperialistic approach to the creation of respectful mutual relations of partners working together as companions. Inspired figures like Dr. Catherine Hawken were at the forefront of this prophetic movement. Persons who understood how the coming of the Promised One was meant to change the status quo in this world of ours. We are blessed and honored to have several officially recognized kindred spirits of Catherine Hawken in our congregation, persons including Rhea and Ray Whitehead, who have received the award that bears Dr. Hawken's name. But of course, we are all invited and encouraged to join this kinship, this kingdom of kindred spirits who are prepared to respond with justice and compassion when the Promised One appears in one form or another. Now, we have chosen December 25th as the particular day when we acknowledge and celebrate the arrival of the Promised One, the coming of Christ into our awareness. But this is an arbitrary date, supposedly marking the birthday of Jesus. We have no idea, really, when Jesus was born. But if we're going to choose this date, this December 25th, we had better also choose to celebrate the day faithfully, which means that we'll examine closely the way Christmas is trumped up by the status quo. We'll be intentional about identifying connections between that traditional, commercialized Christmas and the forces that keep on exploiting and oppressing the earth and its most vulnerable creatures. And we'll ask ourselves, can this really be of God? Is this worthy of the coming of the Promised One? Is this really God's Christmas? If we don't ask these questions, the real Christmas will elude us altogether. But if we do, we will find alternatives to the status quo. New, life-giving relations with the earth and vulnerable creatures, healthy partnerships in ministry and mission, fair trade and alternative gift-giving, peace and goodwill in family gatherings. In other words, we will discover, we will celebrate a real Christmas. I hope and I pray that the real Christmas will not elude us altogether. And I encourage you to join me in this hope with the full sense of Advent hope. And this hope is not just wishful thinking, but an enlightened and determined expectation for a genuine birth of Christ in our midst. Keep awake, therefore, and be prepared. The reign of God is about to break out on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.